This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's the 1st of March. Good morning. This is Frida Liu. You're listening to Enterprise, and we've got the folks from Digital News Asia with us, Chong Jin Seong and Anusha Kandasivam. Unfortunately, Karamjit cannot be with us this morning.
Frida is so sad.
Yes, we'll have to do without him. Oh, what will we do?
The show must go on.
The show must go on. So, Jin, you've got a story here. Technology Accelerator 1337 Ventures. What else is it called?
It's actually, in geek speak, it's Lead Ventures.
Lead Ventures. Yes, has selected 10 startups to undergo an intense 12-week acceleration process to bring their products ready to market as part of the NEO program. I know about this, the Khazanah National Entrepreneurship Outreach, Silent K.
Silent K, yes.
And they've got 10 startups to prepare for their demo day in May. And Lead Ventures will invest an additional $12,838 in three startups, US dollars.
Well,
838, okay.
Yeah, yeah. So that amount already, that's on top already of what the initial kickoff that the NEO program really has given them. But that goes to show also the confidence and the quality of the startups that Lead Ventures is also confident in. I mean, they're confident in these startups that they're going to be bringing on board and accelerating them. Otherwise, because they distilled down from over 800 submissions over a course of several months, and it comes down to the final 30. So Lead Ventures is one of the accelerators, part of the new, that's going to be accelerating them. Another two accelerators are also doing the same thing with a couple of their, another 10, each of them holding 10 different startups. So I spoke to Lead Ventures first, and I'll be probably talking to the other accelerators as well with their own set of startups.
All right, and I understand that NEO is not offering money.
They offered a 2% stake to the accelerator.
Okay, so 2% stake, that means they're investing in it, that whatever however much is valued.
And they're giving, if I'm not mistaken, they should be giving about roughly over $7,000 to three finalists on the demo day itself. So the top three picks will get 7,703. That's after the conversion. That's actually, in Malaysian ringgit terms, it's 30,000 ringgit.
Okay, 30,000 ringgit. So all in, okay. Pretty good. So tell me about some of the startups.
Yeah, so
you were showing me the list earlier. Yes, I said, I only know one, I said.
So yeah, when I showed you the list, I think we could pick up GrabCycle. Yes, we talked about them several weeks ago. So yes. I've seen them from baby.
Of course,
they also Magic as well, part of the Magic Seller program. So yeah, I mean, like, interestingly, yes, GrabCycle is part of it. They're a social enterprise as well. So it's one of the things actually Lead Ventures CEO Bikesh Lakshmani said was that the set of startups here is not just only tech startups. You have non-tech startups, which I'll get to in a second, and the social enterprise, which also comprises of GrabCycle.
Which uses technology.
It uses technology for sure, yes. But you wouldn't expect also, like, some of the interesting stuff they've included is Malaysian Aquaponics Research Center, which is actually, it started out by a man named Michael Christian Simons. So he actually comes from a broadcasting background.
Oh, I know him.
Now you know him?
Yeah. Yeah. He's actually the I don't know if he wants to talk about it, but he's actually the man behind Raja Lawa. Homegrown Productions.
I see.
Oh, yeah. He's got a farm. All right.
He's got a farm.
He bought a farm.
Okay. He literally bought a farm. But yeah, he was telling me that, you know, he's a parent, of course. Right. So he has kids. So he understands that, you know, the food that we get is so important to the nutrition of our children. So he wanted to, you know, grow his own food because it's a healthier way rather than getting, you know, sometimes the food you get in the supermarkets, you don't know where it comes from, pesticides and all that. So grow it naturally at home. And he really went all the way because he actually, as you say, bought a farm and actually planting his own food. And, you know, he did it to a point where there's too much. So he has surplus of vegetables that he has grown.
Yeah.
So he decided to sell it. And then slowly, you know, that led on to him making it out of a business and actually sells to people, you know, like for 50 ringgit you get a bag of a bag of vegetables and stuff like that. But he wants to take it further even, and he's looking at things like aquaponics or your vertical kind of farming, urban farming and things like this. These concepts, you know. So like he was also telling me during a short brief session we had during the in between the sessions. So like he was telling me that KL, there's so much open space,
yes,
as in the rooftops are not utilized.
Yeah.
So why not utilize the rooftops and use it for, you know, planting? You can plant and do urban farming.
He's not the first to come
he's
up with
this. He's not the first, yeah, right. But it's part
there's,
of the concept.
There's lots of opportunity for many people. I mean, more definitely. People get into this and more people start planting in the roofs or the side of the walls and all that. Why
or
not?
Or even your condos. If you live in a condo, you can always use your balcony and then certain vegetables like lettuce don't require direct sunlight. 60% is enough. So like ambient sunlight is enough. So like he was telling me that these are some of the common vegetables we can grow from our own homes even. And, you know, the turnaround's like maybe a month or so like that. And you can still enjoy fresh vegetables out from your garden.
Right.
Yeah.
And save money in the process.
Oh, of course. Definitely save money. Another interesting one I found was Save for Dream. So this was started by a lady named Nadia Ismadi. Actually, she comes from a background from Nomura Asset Management.
Oh, wow.
So she's
so interesting,
because
they're all from...
different...
Okay. Yeah.
Totally wouldn't expect it.
Yeah.
But she started this this startup called Save for Me, Save for Dream, sorry. Not for me. Save for Dream.
That's a new one.
I wish they would Save for Me, but essentially
Save for Gin.
Oh no. But actually they she noticed that a lot of young people, the pain point is that we don't know how to save our money. And a lot of times, like I think there's even statistics shown that a lot of people don't have savings. Mm. So she wanted to tackle this by, you know, putting the carrot on the stick for yourself. Like, save for that trip to Bali. Save money for that car. And she's trying to partner up with an e-wallet player. She won't tell me who yet, but they have plans to want to partner with an e-wallet player such that if, say, I have... You know, like I'm paying for, say, lunch or something like that. Okay, so I'm going to pay for lunch. It's... It may be 18 ringgit.
Mm.
I put down, maybe I put 20 ringgit down. The change or something like that will go to what saving for that.
I see.
For your dream or so. So that's part of the process. But they haven't gotten to that stage yet. But that's part of the larger concept they want to do.
Okay.
As well as apart from that, it's also a tool that you want to record your stuff and like have a goal set for yourself. Like, how much do I need to save aside in a month so that I can meet my dream, and they can calculate back and show you how much.
There are a couple of apps like that as well. Yeah. So how did you think it was different?
Honestly, I haven't seen the other apps, so I can't really comment how it's different from them. But I think when I heard it, I was like, gosh, this is something I wish I had on hand to at least, you know, set myself on the right course, save for something. I mean, it's a good idea to me. But and partnering with an e-wallet player is...
Yeah.
I mean, it's something different. Yeah. We'll wait and see.
Because it'd be interesting to say, okay, I put $20 on. Okay, 2 ringgit will go into that. You know what I mean? That kind of a no-brainer in a way. So and we always, when we think about savings or managing our finances, we never think about saving for that holiday.
Or
whatever the dream
or
may
something,
be, right?
Or something more, you know, like your retirement or something. It could be a longer term plan as well. But yeah, I mean, there are a lot of different styles and ideas that I saw over there that were interesting as well. And Leap Ventures themselves also wants to put in, I mean, apart from, you know, investing the additional amount of money, which they actually may be, they will select their own 3 sets of startups, but they're also providing in-kind services like, you know, for hosting, for training. Of course, the most important is the knowledge transfer. Even when I spoke to someone from Kazana, he was telling me that, you know, the whole point of NEO is not to, you know, give out funding to people and stuff like that, but it's to encourage them to come in, know a better way of how to run their business, learn from the, you know, the experts, the accelerators themselves also, and finally take the product to market. So that's what the main objective of the goal is. And I think, you know, Kazana has been reaching out and hoping to get these final 30 out of 800 to be, you know, real killer startups, you know.
And this 800 would have been all throughout Malaysia.
I don't know where all of them come from, but once I see the rest, then I have a better idea where all of them. But most of them seem to be from the Klang Valley.
Mm-hmm. Anything else that caught your eye?
I think that should be... there's one more, actually, called Unwrapped. That's unwrapped, like unwrap something, but minus an E at the end. I made a mistake.
Okay.
When I was writing the story, unfortunately, I added the E the proper way to spell it, but it's minus the E and just ends with a D.
We don't need vowels anymore.
We don't need
it.
It's more hip to name your startups that way. But essentially, I talked to one of their co-founders, Tae Yoon Kun. So they are a startup that's focusing on gift cards. Why gift cards? Because people, according to their business model and research, people like to hold physical things.
Mm.
So I asked them, like, why look for something physical, because you have all kinds of e-wallets coming up. You have players like Fave also. It's done completely cashless and stuff. But you say, like, when you want to give something to someone, you would gift a physical item to them, and rather than, you know, here, Frida, here's a coupon, e-coupon, let me email it to you. It seems less personal. So they feel that working this way, they can, you know, leverage on the fact that, you know, if I'm gifting something to someone, not only it benefits, you know, you having a good time to something you may like, maybe you like ice cream and I give you something for an ice cream parlor or something like that. It benefits them because they're also reaching out to the smaller time business owners who may not have the resources to be coming out of gift cards or loyalty cards or what have you. Those kind of, that kind of concept, you know, you're trying to approach a market where people don't have the expertise in it, but these guys are the experts in, if the technology and the back end system to be coming off a gift card that you can easily redeem over
very,
the counter.
Okay, very interesting and very counter. I mean, everybody's doing E, and now they say, you know, they still want the card. And the reason why we went with E was because people said they didn't want
any physical.
But then if they say research has shown that, well, we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
It's interesting. But yeah, you know, like, I guess you still, we still, tactile people, we're still, oh, nice, you know. Yeah.
We can't send, love that.
I don't like flowers by it.
Yeah,
flowers.
I guess when you're getting a gift, you want to hold something in your hand and see it like, oh, some Fida gave me a gift. And,
okay. Something of that sort,
maybe.
Yeah.
All right,
yeah.
All the best with all these people. So the demo day is going to be in May.
May 9th.
And then, of course, we'll find out who could be the top three, yeah?
The top three, yes.
We'll continue with other stories after this. Anusha Kandasivam and Chong Jin Seong from Digital News Asia. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Busy following Money Trail. BFM 89.9.
You're listening to Enterprise. Good morning. And we've got the folks from digitalnewsasia.com with us, Anusha Kandasivam and Chong Jin Seong. Jin earlier on talked about the NEO program, working together with Lead Ventures. 10 have been selected, and we'll find out in May who gets to be the top three. Now, you've got another story here. Online grocery store Jocom is recognized as the first grocery mobile commerce app by Malaysia Book of Records. Ha! Huh, first. Okay.
First. So they, I mean, this is an interesting startup, I would say. They've been in existence already for several years already. They started in 2014 or 2015. Mm-hmm. So at least they're not new kids on the block.
Right.
But they've been approaching this model. It's quite interesting because I talked to one of the founders, Joshua Su. So he was he's the executive director for Jocom. So he, together with his partner, business partner Agnes Chua, they both come from a background of they saw a pain point where, you know, and you're trying to, this is something that they were saying they wanted to achieve, which was, you know, online groceries, you have perishables and you want to get it out to the customers. And I think before, back then, although you have your Tesco's, you know, doing this kind of things like that, but back then, a few years ago, it's not so common that, you know, e-commerce is associated with groceries. You usually associate e-commerce with like electronics, your fashion, your lifestyle. Yeah. These are the things when you think of e-commerce, but not so much perishable goods.
So this is the first, but this is the first I've heard of them.
You're the first.
And there are many other players, right? You know, your Pasar, whatever.
Pasar.
You're right.
Yeah.
But where they're different in a way is that they serve, I would say, end-to-end almost. They did describe it as an end-to-end solution. So they're serving not just B2C consumers, they're also serving B2B. So they're supplying as well to restaurants, to hotels as well. And at the same time, they're also helping out. This is, I'm skipping ahead a little bit here, but they're also helping out your Malaysian brands as well. Because like you may have local brands that, you know, want to be selling it. And just, I'm really jumping ahead here, but then
it's okay.
I'll
take you back.
You'll take me back. But they are also jumping a little bit too far ahead. They are planning to expand to China as well. So they are going to be taking local brands as well, allowing them to sell regionally as well. That's part of like the balance they're bringing to the ecosystem, so to speak. So they are not just when I mentioned the other owners, call them competitors. The other solutions.
Yeah.
He says that, you know, they're more of a concierge service, whereas they don't do so much of a concierge service.
Things like Honest Bee.
Honest Bee and the rest like that. It's a different solution altogether, not on the same playing field. So, actually, just a little bit of background about them. Joshua and Agnes, both of them come from families that have been running two businesses, logistics and groceries. So Joshua comes from, his family background is in logistics, His business partner Agnes is in groceries, and both of them initially at first didn't want to pick up the family business, but because they wouldn't think that this actually is a huge business opportunity to be getting into logistics and groceries. Who would know at that time that logistics would be so critical to e-commerce back then? Mm. But he's an IT guy, Agnes is in finance, but they both come together and bring the two sides of this together to make up JOCOM. Interestingly, I forgot to point out that JOCOM actually is an acronym.
For?
Wait, I need to find that. Let me look at it. I don't want to get it wrong.
You sound like Karamjit.
No, I don't want to get the...
Where is it? Where is it? I got it wrong name.
It's... I'm trying to remember.
Okay, while you're searching,
let me just quickly bring it up.
While you're searching it as well, did they say, like, in terms of B2B and B2C, which is a greater contributor to their business? Did you ask?
I think, if I'm not mistaken, B2B is the large, it plays a bigger role in it because B2C is a little bit more difficult. Okay, wait, let me just quickly come back. So it's actually an acronym for Just Order Conveniently on Mobile. And that speaks a lot to the actual app itself and also what it does. So yes, for consumers, order on your mobile, businesses as well, if you want to order, and they even supply this to online places like Lazada, 11th Street, Shopee as well. And surprisingly, they even told me that businesses order through those channels as well.
Okay, earlier on, going to China, how confident? Why do they, I mean, I worry, you know, I mean, China, they're so aggressive, you know. Yeah, I'm not saying we're not capable, but just like, you know, what do you think they will have an advantage in China?
Well, actually, they are one of the selected partners with MITI, the Ministry of Ministry of Industry and Trade.
Yes.
Yes. Score one for Frida. But so they're actually a selected partner with MITI, and they are also leveraging on the DFTZ as well. So this they're going to be opening up an office in Huangzhou as well. So this is part of their overall plan in 2018 that they're taking not just expanding Malaysia, but they're having this focus on China as well, because there's lots of opportunity over there, I'm sure. I mean, there's so much that you can probably sell to the Chinese and back
forth. There's so much vegetables you can sell.
Well, it's not just durians that you keep hearing about all the time. Yeah, it's not just durians, but, you know, your regular groceries. Or like, I think he had on the table, on Joshua's table, as I was speaking to him, I think there are like some coffee brands, local coffee brands or stuff like that. I'm not sure what it's called, Alor, like Alostar, Alor, A-L-O-R or something like that. I've never heard of it. But, you know, it's like small town brands like this or that they're not out there. They're not in your Benz, groceries or anything like that. Not those big high-end markets that, these are the kind of players that they're hoping to take to a regional level. So it's not just only helping, you know, selling to B2B or B2C, but also helping the smaller entrepreneurs also to take their business beyond the borders as well. Because most of them, he mentioned that a lot of them are not IT savvy and may not even have like thinking of beyond, you know, selling to the local market or selling beyond, you know, to the next state even. Yeah. So this is like really, it would be a leapfrog forward for them. Yeah,
and it's great, you know, so we can help all our SMEs as well in that space. Yeah,
That's right.
Okay, Anu, you've got a story on I like the headline, what? Use Today finds its rhythm and is preparing for expansion.
Rhythm because, well, the founder's name is Jess Tan, founder and CEO. And she's a very interesting young lady. So she registered the company when she was 19 years old. It was called Jazz Ada Solution at that point, which is such a cool name. But she decided Use Today would be, you know, more universal, go everywhere. And so she's 28, she's almost 29. So 10 years of experience as an entrepreneur. Such a young person. And so basically what Use Today is a youth engagement portal. And it's actually Malaysia's biggest online youth engagement portal, because meaning that it has a little bit more than 80,000 youths on board. On board meaning people who use it regularly. So basically what Use Today does is it engages youth. It allows them to find sponsors, funding for the events, promote or sell tickets for the events. And then they can also connect to other youth for knowledge exchanges, meaning if they want to exchange their textbooks, their notes, or, you know, basically just talk to each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there are lots of other kinds of programs as well.
Okay.
Yeah. And it also allows corporates to engage with youth.
Okay.
So what happens is corporates park part of their marketing budget with youth today.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, they specify what kind of demographic they're looking at, university students, age group, whatever, what kind of event.
And that's their business model, basically.
Yeah,
right?
And so they kind of match it or connect the two together. Mm. So the youth get their funding and the corporates get their you know, the customer engagement, and everybody's happy.
And CSR brownie points as well.
As well, yeah. Right? Yeah. 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 Well, very interesting, because I've also spoken to Jazz before and her story. And her story was when she was 14 years old, her father was killed.
Yeah.
And that sort of, you know, how... And, you know, she looked at her friends and all that, see how youths can actually be distracted when these things happen. Mm-hmm. And then she recently had another cousin who also passed away, who killed himself or whatever.
Oh,
no, I mean, she mentioned it over the interview. So that's why she was so passionate about working with youths, because since she's been there and, you know, you can actually find opportunities. Another one of her business, I don't know if she, I know for a fact, is that a couple of these youths also manage Airbnb homes. And so that's one way the youth are, so then they take
things.
Care. Yeah.
Yeah, there's also a program on Youth Today. It's called I can't remember what it's called, but basically it's a thing with Astro.
Mm-hmm.
And Astro's what they do is the youth find apps that they test out apps, basically, and then they recommend apps to their friends. Mm-hmm. So every time you recommend an app, it comes with a little unique code. So you tell your friend, why don't you download this app and check it out? This is my code. Then whenever that code is used, the person will get a little bit of money. So it's a little bit of kind of like a side income thing.
Mm.
Yeah. So it's a whole youth community that they've created.
Right.
Yeah, which is really great. And and you were talking about when she was 14, her father was killed.
Mm.
She told me that. That's the ultimate motivation for her.
Yeah.
Every time she thinks that, you know, it's a social enterprise. Running it is hard work, you know, and she's...
I think she's based here now, but before that she was in Penang.
Yes.
And she used to come all the way from Penang, you know, like to meet with corporate sponsors. Mm. I mean, because there's no money for accommodation, and she'd be sleeping at the Pudu bus station.
Oh, dear. Mm. Yeah, but she's so tough, you know.
I know.
She doesn't look it when you look at her, but she's so very tough. And so she said that, you know, her father is still the ultimate motivation. And she basically said something like, it's going to be a life's work for her. And you only have one life, why not make it the best life possible? I mean, this is kind of like YOLO, but it's a good kind of YOLO.
YOLO, right?
Yeah, she's doing something with her life and she's helping so many people.
See? And her, even at my age, I don't think of YOLO that way.
Exactly. Yeah. And she actually told me that it's she kind of has a global ambition. She wants to go around the world because she said there's so many people around the world that need... They need something.
Direction.
Direction, yeah.
Yeah.
Youth around the world. And she did say that it took about 1 year to get the first 50,000 youth engaged on the platform. And so if it takes 1 year, imagine if you're in the world and there's, let's say, about 2 billion youth.
Yeah.
It's going to be a lifetime's work. And she's totally fine with that. And that's what she's aiming for.
Mm. Well, right now, the platform's only available in Malaysia, not regional yet.
So not regional yet. They are going... the plan is, by the end of this year, to get into Philippines and Indonesia.
Mm.
She said that Philippines and Indonesia, the youth there are pretty similar to youth in Malaysia.
Mm.
Around Southeast Asia, the whole region, young people are more or less the same, basically. We all have the same... I say we. They all have the same
concerns, you lot.
The same problems. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Okay, Jin, we got another story here. You did a review of the OnePlus FT and OnePlus
5T. This isn't my review. It's actually a review written by Edwin. Edwin Yap, our contributing editor.
Mm.
So actually, truth be told, I haven't actually touched this phone, but Anusha has the older version of the phone.
Yes.
Okay.
The 3.
That's what it looks like.
Yours is the 3?
No, mine is... No.
Okay.
Oh, my God. Don't put me in the spot, Jin.
Okay. Anyway, it's a OnePlus phone.
It's a OnePlus phone.
But this is... OnePlus is actually one of the hip brands, actually, that you may find around. They got their start a couple of years ago by they are popularized by, you know, this online selling, whereby it's so exclusive.
Chinese.
I believe it's either Chinese or Taiwanese, but okay. Don't quote me yet. Uh-huh. But it's not from the West. I know that for sure. But yes, so actually, the OnePlus 5T is the latest version of this phone that's out. That came out actually late last year. So this phone, let me see. Sorry, so it's a unibody phone, meaning it's primarily carved out of metal, and it's sporting like really high end specs and everything. It's also has dual cameras, so if you love to take, you know, selfies of yourself, if you like that extra challenge, or instead of using the front camera, you're welcome to do so, because one of the cameras is actually really good taking the dark. So that's one of the things that Edwin really liked. But apart from that,
what's he doing taking photos in the dark?
You know, maybe if we're all
Frida, hip, so we're naughty.
We're really hip. We like to take photos in the dark because it's more challenging that way. And we like to push our phones to the limit. But that being said, this is a really big screen phone. This is 6-inch.
Wow.
This is a 6-inch phone. So it's like...
It's a phablet. Almost.
Almost a phablet. But actually, Frida, just to correct slightly a bit, nowadays when you say 6-inch, it's actually... The body itself need not be a phablet size because they actually...
Yes.
They cut away at the bezel, so like you stretch it out really. So that's one of the trends from last year, and they really... they put that in this phone. Practically almost every phone, even your entry-level phones, have this now. Mm. They call them full screen or bezel-less. It's all the same. But Edwin really loved the screen quality of this one because it's an AMOLED screen. Mm. He had recently switched over to another phone that doesn't have AMOLED screen, though it has the same size. But he found like he really missed that AMOLED screen. So like that was one of the core things he liked about it. The screen was really bright. It has that nice 18:9 ratio, which is really good if you're watching movies, you're streaming movies on Netflix. He was talking in the review, it had some shows like Jurassic Park even.
Huh.
They are formatted to 18:9, so you may not be getting black bars even on it. You'll be able to watch it in its full glory, you know, hear that T-Rex roar. And even though this only has a mono speaker, not a stereo speaker. So it's not mono, sorry. It's only a single speaker, but he found the quality of the sound to be good enough. And all this is going at a price that doesn't break the bank, really.
Mm.
It's about, you can get it as low as 2,288 in some online stores. And that's, comparatively with other, this is what we in the personal tech side will call it. It's a mid-range phone. So this is not your high-end Galaxy S9.
Did we talk about pricing there?
Yes, he did talk about pricing. So he did mention that, you know, this is one of the attractions for it. If you want to have like a phone with good quality screens, a good high-end processor, because he tried it and, you know, he literally can't slow it down. He's just like throwing everything he can, you know, browse the web, use it for watching and everything. Driver. Battery is also not too bad either. This is at the early 2000 ringgit stage, and you're getting this. It's pretty okay if you can. Part of the thing is that if you don't mind, you're not getting like beyond HD, meaning quad HD. Mm. You don't mind that. You don't mind that it's not waterproof, and it's still a good bargain, I would say. This phone is.
It's so hip that I haven't heard of it.
Yeah,
so, okay. That's why.
It's hip. Actually, interestingly, OnePlus at one point in time, it was done like recommendation style like that. So like, think of your Xiaomi's back in the day when selling online only was like the hip thing to do, and you sell out because, you know, people heard about it and like, oh, I want to get one.
Because so, only available online.
Mm. Only available online, and sometimes you have to recommend people. Think of Gmail back in the day. That kind of strategy. So it works for them for quite a fair bit. And I don't think you can find this. Like, there's no OnePlus store around here.
Mm.
So you still have to buy through online retailers or through certain resellers.
What's that? The scarcity tactic.
Yeah, scarcity. Yeah. I mean, this is the same thing that Apple or even game companies like Nintendo do. When you have it at the early stage, people will be like clamoring and getting for it. And then like, once it's like so limited, then like, I really need to get one.
I need, huh? You it's need not to. I want to, but I need.
But I wouldn't say, but that being said, I wouldn't say this is like in scarcity yet. I mean, I have no idea whether it's so much in demand until you can't find it. But it's a quality product, I would say. I mean, judging from the review that he's written, it's a great phone if you're on a budget and you want to have like, not the peak quality, but peak of last year as well. Mm. But, you know, it's just entering 2018 and it's a good processor inside it. I don't think you could ask for a better phone if you want to have something that is affordable, of flagship quality, and have it, you know, with a good screen.
Yeah.
And everything,
if you're also not so brand conscious, like, you know, some people say, oh, you know, it's always either the Apple or the Samsung, right? I mean, kind of thinking. So, you know, you want to be
hip like Anusha, because you have to choose something. Anusha
is ahead of a time.
Yeah. It's a talking point as well. It's like, what's OnePlus? And what's OnePlus 1? And don't say 2.
Let me show you the phone. Yeah. You know, that's the reason for that. Anyway, thanks for being with us. And of course, sharing what's happening in the tech space. And they'll be back in 2 weeks' time. Chong Jin Seong and Anusha Kandasivan from Digital News Asia, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.